Let's read together Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 38. Now, in this first half of Luke chapter 22, we have the account of the institution of the Lord's Supper and the Lord's prediction of Peter's denial. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. Now, the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 22 with some background notes. We saw in Luke chapter 21 that our Lord spent the days of his final week teaching the people in the temple courts. All during this time, the Jewish religious leaders were looking for an opportunity to do away with Jesus, but they were afraid of the common people who were attracted to Jesus and loved his teaching. However, Judas played right into the hands of these Jewish religious leaders because he was willing to betray Jesus at an opportune time when the crowds were not around. Verse 3 says that Satan entered Judas when he made arrangements to betray the Lord. Satan entered Judas again at the Last Supper, as we read in John chapter 13. In the Jewish calendar, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread went together, as we see here in verse 1. Passover was on the 14th of the Hebrew month Nisan, followed by 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But because the two feasts went together, the Passover would also be called the first day of unleavened bread, as we see in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. We believe the Lord was crucified on the 14th of Nisan, at the time when the Passover lambs were sacrificed. Since the day began with sunset the night before, verse 7 would indicate that the Lord and his disciples made preparations to celebrate the Passover meal on Thursday evening, and the Lord was crucified on Friday. Now, whether or not the Lord had made prior arrangements with the owner of the house that had the large upper room, we don't know for sure. But it was more than what the disciples could have hoped for, a large upper room already furnished. And it was easy enough for Peter and John to follow the man carrying a pitcher of water, because normally the women carried the water. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first half of Luke chapter 22. So, doctrinal point number one, the institution of the Lord's Supper was during the last Passover. The institution of the Lord's Supper was during the last Passover, verses 14 through 23. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Verse 14 says that the Lord and his disciples reclined at the table. This was part of first century Roman culture. They did not sit on one side of a long table, as in Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. They reclined on couches around a low table. Notice that the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man are both taught in verse 22. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. It was predetermined that the Lord would go to the cross. That is the sovereignty of God. But Judas was held responsible for his betrayal. The responsibility of man. In the Passover Seder or Supper, there are four cups of wine involved. The third cup is known as the cup of thanksgiving. It may have been at this point in the Passover celebration that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. What the Lord meant in verses 16 and 18 is that this was the last Passover that he would celebrate with his disciples until his second coming, when he would return and set up the kingdom of God on this earth. At that time, Israel would be restored as a believing nation under the new covenant, and the Jewish feasts would be celebrated with all their prophetic implications fulfilled. In the meantime, the Lord's Supper would be celebrated by all believers around the world. We do this in remembrance of him until he comes, according to 1 Corinthians 11:26. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the church. The church which is composed of all true believers. Now when the Lord said, "This is my body given, and this is my blood poured out," he meant that the bread and the wine represent his body and blood, because he said this while he was still in his body and before he went to the cross. Notice from verse 19 that celebrating the Lord's Supper is not an option, but a command. Do this in remembrance of me. If you love the Lord Jesus, you will remember him in the Lord's Supper. The institution of the Lord's Supper was during the last Passover. Doctrinal point number two. The prediction of Peter's denial was after a dispute about greatness. Verses 24 through 34. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits or reclines at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." We see in these verses that the Lord not only predicted the details of Peter's three denials, but he also predicted Peter's restoration and future ministry in verse 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And what an encouragement to us to know that the Lord prays for us as he prayed for Peter. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says that he always lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 25. And also encouraging for us is verse 31 here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. This verse indicates that Satan cannot tempt us or touch us in any way without God's permission. Read the book of Job in this connection as well. When the disciples should have been thinking about what the Lord was telling them, they began to argue about who was going to be the greatest. This was not the first time that this had happened, as we know from Luke chapter 9. Here in Luke chapter 22, the Lord proceeds to teach the disciples that if you really want to be great, it is not the same in his kingdom as in the world. The name of the game in the world is power and titles, but not in God's kingdom. To be truly great in God's eyes is to be a servant to others. The Lord then graciously tells his disciples that because they had stood by him in his trials, they would sit on thrones and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel when he would set up his earthly kingdom. Now, this discussion about true greatness and the blessings of the kingdom prompted Peter to say that he would follow the Lord to prison and to death. Verse 33. The Lord had to humble Peter by predicting Peter's denial. The Lord has to humble us as well when we think more of ourselves than we should. The prediction of Peter's denial was after a dispute about greatness. Now, what about practical application from this first half of Luke chapter 22? Be prepared for opposition. Be prepared for opposition. Verses 35 through 38. Luke chapter 22, beginning now with verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end or fulfillment. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. The whole point of what the Lord was telling his disciples in these verses was that they could expect opposition to increase in the future. The reason he quoted Isaiah 53 and verse 12, and he was numbered with the transgressors, was to show his disciples that he would be considered a criminal, and that would bring opposition to them. The Lord did not mean to buy a sword so that they could fight offensively. Remember the Lord's rebuke to Peter and his use of the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. It seems that the Lord was indicating that to defend themselves from attack in a hostile world was not wrong, but two swords was plenty. The goal was not self-defense, but preaching the gospel. We too will face opposition as we preach the gospel and do the Lord's work. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13 says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Be prepared for opposition.